You didn't know that's how they make
Yo,
them?
what up?
That's how they make
Garrett
them.
Garrett just told me that if you swallow a burp, it comes out a fart, and I don't think that
that's true. And
that's how they make them.
You know what? Like, if you have to shit really bad, but you can't for whatever reason, you will eventually vomit.
No.
Yep.
That food's coming out one way or another.
You're being silly now.
You get all backed up.
How long have you held? What's the longest you've ever held a number two for?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Okay, so you've never pushed it to the limit where you actually start vomiting.
I can't know.
It'll happen.
When I was a kid, for some reason, I used to want to hold in my shit.
That's what kids do.
As long as possible. Yeah.
Sometimes kids do that. Not all kids, but it's a thing.
I didn't want to stop what I was doing. I was playing with my Beast action figure. I was deep in the adventure, and I didn't want to go and
waste your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just put it off. Never shit myself.
That's impressive.
This is Gene, by the way. You may remember him from a few podcasts ago.
How's it going? Theme song!
Got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides the Lonely Horseman. Got my gun at my side. I'm just trying to be the Lonely Horseman.
Yeah, so getting back to Turd Talk, which is the new name for this podcast.
It always was.
Yeah. In high school, real. I don't know why I had a really, I'm going to say I had a really unhealthy diet. I don't know why this happened, but I almost every day would have to take a crap at like 10 a.m. So
that's a terrible time.
Middle of second period, almost every single day. And I would try to prepare like in the morning, like I'm going to go to the bathroom. Wouldn't have to go, and then I'm sitting there, second period, just like, fuck, I'm going to explode. And it got to a point where the teacher thought I was, like, fucking with them. Like,
oh, no.
Every day? Wow. You have to, and I was like, I don't know what's, I'm 15 years old. I don't know shit about my body. you teach me. What's wrong here? And, you know, the bathrooms at our high school.
Yeah, terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. Sucked.
The worst.
Let me correct you on that.
Okay. Please do.
You weren't going to the bathroom correctly. There was an absolutely wonderful restroom in the backstage area of the theater, and I would escape the clutches of regular
school
bathrooms and sneak in that building every
let
day.
Let me correct you, Rocco, because I've been in that bathroom, and that bathroom was below me.
Whoa.
Because whoa. I would go to the nurse's office and use the bathroom in there on a regular basis.
Now,
which was the best bathroom in the whole school.
Like, fake being sick every time?
Yes.
Oh,
I can beat you there. I found an equally clean bathroom without the lie of faking an illness. I would use the girls' restroom.
No.
Yeah, because it was just a private
room. It was like a one.
And there was never anyone in it.
Let me tell you something. I'm not going to try to one-up you because that is...
Checkmate.
That's yeah, you win.
Checkmate.
But the bathroom backstage at the theater was actually in the whole arts department. So I did marching band in ninth grade.
Oh, okay.
And one time at marching band practice, I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom. And I was in there doing my business. And I guess I took too long.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why.
Uh-oh.
And my teacher came looking for me.
Oh, Jesus.
And
what?
I'm
what?
Thinking I was gone so long, my teacher assumed I just wasn't even in the bathroom and just walked right in.
No.
Just like. And I was like.
What?
I was just like, yeah, still in here. And he's like, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
And so I never really wanted to use that bathroom again.
You know, there's a scene in Lost where this isn't a segue. I'm staying within the topic.
Thank God.
There's a scene in Lost when Sawyer talks about he's going to kill somebody that he's been looking for a long time, and he asks for a gun from this like hitman guy. And the guy goes, "Are you sure you're ready for this?" And he's like, "What do you mean?" And he says, "In the moment when you pull that gun, you'll know right in that moment where you stand with killing someone. Like, you could think this or that now, but you won't really know yourself until you or pointing that gun at somebody. And I think about that when somebody barges in on you in the bathroom, is you really find out, like in your mind, it's, oh no, like you go through all these anxious things. You hear that door getting, you know, like they're trying to get it open or whatever, and you're thinking, oh God, oh no, it's going to be so embarrassing. But once it happens, it's like this peace comes over you. It's like, you're going to see me shitting.
Yeah.
That's on you. So enjoy, I guess.
You know, like when you're...
I really was scared of it until it happened.
When you're in a public bathroom and somebody like knocks, like they want to check if you're in there, and they knock, you always say occupado. Is that right?
I say sup.
Oh, you say sup?
Sup. Yeah.
When somebody knocks on the door...
Occupado is a dad thing.
I want to go with, come on in. You know?
Yeah.
It's like it's the door to
it
a
happened,
house.
I've already told the story, but it... Because it happened to me at Konami. I don't know if I said the name of the company before.
Have.
But it was Konami. Somebody who worked at Konami kept trying to get in my stall. And I'm like, you know, it's locked. It's not jammed. It's locked. And I got really scared. And then I was like, well, it's going to happen. Here it comes. And then he walked in. Businessman walks in with his briefcase and was just like... And I was like, sup?
Do you... All right. Maybe he wanted to see it. Panel poll... Yes or no, do you use the handicap bathroom, the extra big stall?
Yeah. If there's either nobody there or it's the only option.
Yeah. I've said before that I have a phobia of going to the bathroom in public. I can't do it. Ever since I was a kid, I was in kindergarten and the stall walls were very low and I was pooping. And these kids stood on the toilet and started making fun of me in my underwear and stuff like that while I was shitting. And it, like, fucked me up. It, like, destroyed me. And so, like, to this day, pooping in, like, public is like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to do this. And so...
You can't define yourself by
your
trauma.
Yeah, face your fears.
I've gotten much, much, much better.
Okay.
Much better.
I was going to say, we could have an experiment. You could get all your bros around you.
Cheering you on.
No.
We could get, like, some stall walls. We could just look over the ones here in the office.
Spray some confetti once you do the job.
And we'll help you get over this tonight if you want.
No, I swear I'm better.
Face your fears, Sean.
I'm better.
Yeah.
Because
face
but now I walk into the bathroom and I look like, okay... Where am I the safest in this bathroom? Like, where is, like, which stall is the best hidden corner for me? That's my stall.
I had a, getting back to the handicap stall, I had a military veteran tell me that I shouldn't use the handicap stall.
Ooh, that's a fear.
And it was, you know, it's like, you know, I have a lot of, I'm a military veteran. I have a lot of friends who are disabled, and that stall is for them. And it's like, what do you say to that person?
Sorry.
You know,
I guess.
You can't stand up for your beliefs. Like, this is America. This stall's for everyone. It's like, no, okay.
I know I've said this
I'll
on the
try,
podcast.
I'll try not to shit in there
probably
anymore.
Years ago.
I'm
but
sorry.
We were at an airplane going to PAX East. And we were at, everyone got the plane, got off the plane, going to the bathroom, whatever. And so I remember vividly, there was a line for the stall. There's two of them, one handicap, one not. And then there was just this guy in a wheelchair just waiting for the fucking handicap stall, and he couldn't go because the guy took so long. And he opened the door and just saw the look of this guy in a wheelchair's face. Yeah. And was just like, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. Like, fuck, dude. He probably was playing on his phone, not even thinking about anything. It's this guy in a wheelchair.
We all have to wait for bathroom sometime, okay? That's just equal experience, you know?
Do you guys remember the first time? Do you remember the first time you realized that you shouldn't pull your pants down when you pee,
all the way down?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I never did that.
I never did that either.
Wow, whoops! I just revealed something.
You're not supposed
you're
to do that.
Kid.
I only do that at the club, and I go, "There's man, there's no fucking girls out there, man."
Hell yeah!
I still do it. You know,
you gotta let it fly. It's a nice breeze.
It is. You do every now and then. You see a kid doing it, and it's kind of like, huh? Oh yeah.
I was in like
that was you,
grade.
Huh?
I think I was in second grade.
Second grade, you realize that's not how you do it.
It's a little late. But you know what, though? I think I knew long enough that I'm not supposed to do it. But then there was one day where I went in with two other friends of mine. We all went to the bathroom together. I don't know why. And I accidentally, I like pulled my pants down to pee. And they're like, the fuck are you doing, dude? They saw my little butt. And I was like, oh, man. Shit.
It was
I
an accident.
I'm not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You should have responded with, you know, equal toughness. What, bro?
Yes.
How do you piss, bro?
No, I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
There was zero toughness.
We did already tell that on the podcast that me and Kevin went to Disneyland once and it was just a wall of asses. Like everyone at the urinals was all doing that. And it was like a fucking David Lynch nightmare. Yeah.
This is what we do.
And the dad was standing near him just like watching. It was weird.
Don't get potty on your pants, kids. Pull them all the way down.
What? And then somebody,
I'm just assuming that's what he said. I don't know.
Somebody was in the middle of the of all of that in a rascal trying to like back out of the restroom too. So that was happening, and then beep, 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 beep. God damn it. Beep, beep. I mean, it was just like, what the fuck
all
did
in
I just
a
walk
bathroom?
Into? I'm leaving. That's okay. I don't need to go to the bathroom. And just left.
So. I hate the rascals at Disneyland.
Like that, the
that's just
band?
Me.
Oh, just the vehicle. Yeah,
yeah
the
like,
vehicle.
Oh, I like seeing a bunch of them. You can yell, and they're off.
There's so many. I feel like every time I go to Disneyland, slowly the population of rascals is overtaking the amount of people that are just walking around on foot.
Why are they called rascals?
I don't know.
Do we know this? Is that really what they're called?
I don't know. That is a brand name. Because aren't some of them Hover Round or something?
There's brands.
Or is that a
Rascal's
Rascal
like a
is
brand.
A, it's a brand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a popular one. And that kind of is what dubbed the...
I remember we went to California Adventure, and I'd never ridden the Cars ride. And that line like zigzags the fuck around.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was trapped behind somebody in a Rascal who had to navigate these like hairpin turns. Mm-hmm. And it was like... took. Three times as long
now,
as it should.
I will give
going
them
through that line.
Props though, because there is a handicap line and they didn't get in it. So
no,
because
they were sticking with their family.
There's not one.
No, the Cars ride in California Adventure was the first one with the queue built wide enough that everyone can be in the same line.
Interesting.
And so there were a lot of just generally bigger people that ride the rascals that were really pissed off because they didn't. They were like, they didn't get to cut, but it's like, not about cutting. It's about that we can accommodate you.
It's not about cutting. It's not about cutting.
My theory is, and this is going to be controversial, but I'm going to say it.
Oh,
if
geez.
You can get up out of your rascal and get into the ride, you don't need the rascal at all.
Well,
I think
you're in that line for that long, who knows?
I've had like a couple of injuries before where I could like, get up and move to a different seat, but I was like, my foot hurt so bad, I was in like a ton of pain. That
don't go to Disneyland.
Well,
heal yourself at home.
That is another.
Heal yourself at home.
Feet a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Controversial.
Well, you know,
I'm the renegade. Here comes the hatred.
Derek's get a rascal and then go into the handicap stall and then play on your phone.
I think
hang out in there.
I think it's for the greater good. I think for the general population at large, it'd be a better experience. Ban the rascals from Disneyland. Ban them all.
No, they also want to ban strollers, didn't they?
Ban strollers too.
No.
Ban the ones that are like the Starship Enterprise. They're like that big. What are those?
If you need a stroller, that kid ain't gonna appreciate shit. They're not even. They're just gonna have these weird flashes of memories. They're not really absorbing what's going on.
The point of Disneyland is for those kids in strollers.
Not kids in strollers.
No, it's for Star Wars fans.
It's
John.
For slightly
for 20 somethings
yeah,
with deep pockets.
Okay,
disposable incomes. It's for statue buying. It's for
you know what? Legitimately,
I'm hanging out in Star Wars Land is day one.
Segue conversation. We'll talk about Disneyland now. I legitimately think Disney is they're done with kids. I feel like they're focusing on older and older populations more and more as time goes on. And I think the biggest sign of this is the new Aladdin movie. Aladdin is played by like a 27-year-old dude.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking like, wouldn't it, you remember like in the 90s, the Disney live action films, it was like 16-year-old guys. And I was a young kid. I'd watch these movies and be like, someday I'm going to be like that cool kid. But now if I'm like a young kid watching Aladdin, I'd be like, well, maybe when I grow up and I'm a full grown adult, I'll be like Aladdin.
I'll be a man. If there was a 16-year-old dude doing all this stuff, I think it gets creepier because, like, they fall in love and there's all these, like...
16-year-olds things. Fall in love?
Yeah, but... Yeah. I think
what's the creepiest thing Aladdin does?
I think, well, Jasmine is...
Jasmine.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Because Jasmine is, like, supposed to be sexy, I think. And they don't want her to be under 18.
Jasmine
That's
doesn't
true.
Need to be sexy. She could just be a princess.
Mm.
I mean,
but they're making
her
sexy.
I don't disagree with you.
They're making her sexy for these adult audiences because sex sells.
I mean, you're right. But I think that's what the, I think that's the logic. I think they have to be over 18 so that they can sex him up.
Yeah, when I watched Moonrise Kingdom and there was a scene of those two kids and they were like, he like put her hand on her boob, I felt very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
Well, how old were these kids?
Like 13. Like,
oh, I had a hand on a boob at 13. That was like,
okay, this is a different story.
See, this is real. This is real life.
This is different.
That's like a formative. That's a formative scene. You weren't like reminiscing back to a younger age.
No. No.
Okay.
They have that in the mid-90s also.
I think the I think the same kids who were the target audience of the original Aladdin, they're that's the same. Absolutely. That's the same target audience for this new Aladdin.
I think
and now
all
that they've all grown up,
movies
the characters
that.
Have grown up too.
They have their own kids now because they're all in their 30s. Yeah. They're all our age. And, well, there's only one of us that has a kid. But, and so now they're taking those kids to see those movies that they grew up with. And it's like this constant cycle.
Alex Jones, he needs to get on this.
What?
This conspiracy theory that I just proposed.
Oh, Disney wants to make
I missed a few steps there.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I...
You're ahead of me.
My brain operates on the next level, you know.
Disney's operating on globalist territory.
I don't... Exactly. You know what? Now we got to fucking get...
Anyways.
Rocco, you bought it.
Black.
What?
I don't know. I'm going to change topics. I don't know what's happening.
Rocco's the Disney expert. He hasn't even chimed in on this theory.
No.
Come on, red pill, blue pill. Right. Which one are you?
I don't have neither. I don't know.
Yeah.
None.
I'm with Rocco.
White pill.
Yeah, what's the right answer? I don't
Rocco's
know.
The target audience age, too, so maybe he can't see behind the curtain. You know, he's fallen under the spell.
Yep.
Anyways.
Enchanted.
Whatever.
I got nothing.
That's all right.
Sorry. Shit.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, I know people have been playing Devil May Cry.
That's true.
I think, Frank, you beat it?
Yeah, dude, hardcore. No, I play on the normal difficulty. But yeah, I beat it this past week. The first time I played it, it was like about 6 hours. Like, I made a whole day of it, like, getting through it. And I had fun with it, but I was done with
it. You did
it
one day?
No, I beat it over the course of like 3 days. But the first day I played it, I was playing it, but I wasn't great with the combat. It was my first time getting back into it. The second half of me going through that game, once I understood the combat, I was able to get like S ranks, combos, and everything, really understanding the gameplay. The story, I didn't understand at all because it's just, I've never bought into
it. The story
into,
never
like,
matters.
Yeah,
though.
It's fun, quirky, that Japanese Capcom stuff, but the gameplay, like, it really clicked with me, and I'm like still itching to play it more. But that game felt great. It was really, really good. I had a great time with it.
So did you go back into it or you just beat it?
No, so I beat it and then I
on
started
Devil Hunter, which is
yeah,
like normal.
Devil Hunter, and then I've started going back and cleaning up and getting some more trophies.
Oh, okay. Ooh, we got a trophy hunter.
It's a bad bug, but I'm starting to like I don't want to do this, but
don't do that.
Does anyone else do that?
No.
Rocco?
Every trophy I earn is an accident. I never meant to
right.
get it.
That's how I used to feel.
Yeah, I think it's because Devil May Cry, I think ultimately it was like maybe 10 hours or 12 hours. It was kind of like, I cleared through kind of fast. That's like, I still want to get more out of the game. So that's why it's like, all right, let me do some more out of it. But then I also picked up Division 2. So that's why it's like, put one down, move on to the next one. But you guys also been playing Devil May Cry?
Yeah, I'm Mission 10, and I've been just kind of taking it slow.
Yeah.
But I am so much better with V than I am with Nero.
He's definitely easier to like...
I get SSS rank... Yep. Throughout like each kind of engagement with a demon, and then with Nero, I'm like getting B's, C's.
You're on mission 10, so I think you're.
I just got to Dante,
dude. That's when the game. Like, yeah, so I was saying the first half. Yeah, I liked it. Second half, I'm mostly playing as Dante. Holy shit, it's so fun!
It opens up because
he's
here.
Got so many different guns, so many different weapons, so many different styles. It's much easier to like the gameplay's so dynamic.
Yeah,
one of Dante's weapons in this is he has two motorcycles.
Yeah.
That he fights and spins with.
Oh, I gotta play this.
It's
game.
Fucking rad. Yeah,
Rocco, you talked about calling Nico, my favorite new character.
Yeah. Yes.
Every chance you can get, I think you should call her because it's a unique cutscene every
yeah,
time
I
you find
about,
a phone.
I talked about that last week.
Well, yeah. But, no, I agree with you though. I mean, that's awesome.
Wherever you are, she will come. Like,
yeah, and he explained
in the
like
game.
She'll
yeah, he said
burst
that.
Through
yeah.
walls and everything.
Yeah,
but it's a unique cutscene for every occurrence in the game.
Wow.
So you get kind of something out of it, which is the RE engine looks really, really pretty.
Hmm.
I'm impressed at how every little detail kind of sticks out. I avoided playing the demos. Like, I know you guys played it. Rocco, you mentioned you played it at PAX last year.
Yeah.
Shouts out. We'll be at PAX East.
Gosh. Next
into this
end
month?
End of March?
Yeah.
And like a,
yeah, a week after next.
A week after next. How about that? In 2 weeks, we'll be in Boston wrapping it up.
Damn.
Crazy.
Wrapping it up.
Crazy. But I want to get more time. Hopefully, you can beat it before we leave.
Yeah.
That's all I've been playing right now.
I've been playing that Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really funny going like from Spider-Man to this because in Spider-Man, you can go literally anywhere, and you can't in this game. And like, there's no map on the screen. And I'm like, oh, how the fuck am I gonna? I don't even know where to go. And I feel like most of the time playing is me looking for like a place to climb. Like, do I climb this? No, I can't climb that. Can I climb this? No, I can't climb that. Like, it's just that's my whole experience with this. So like, I am not having as much fun as I hoped I would. I'm gonna keep going with it. But right now, I'm just like, I think I'm in chapter 4, and there's only like 10 chapters. It's a shorter thing. It's a short, yeah. Short little thing. It's like a bonus game, kind of. And I'm happy they made it, but I am like, what am I doing? I can't figure it out. So,
yeah, I never finished Lost Legacy. Like, it's weird. There's a lot of like shorter games that I just kind of like, if I'm not in the mood, I can't get through. Like, I thought they did a good job, but I felt like I just played Uncharted 4. So I was,
you know, what's funny is I played Uncharted 2, 3, and 4 back to back to back. Like, I had never played those before, and I just played them all.
Yeah,
in a row. And then stopped completely, obviously, and it's been years. And so even like starting this, I kind of felt like, oh, it's more Uncharted. And it's like, it's weird that after these year, like 2 year break, I was still like, oh, okay, I've already done this. Like, it's kind of,
yeah, I get that way too. Like, I retain that stuff. So when it, yeah, when they do it again, I'm like, okay, you know, but even that, like, I think that kind of hampered even just 4 for me, as I felt like I played 1, 2, and 3 so recently. In my mind, I was like, okay.
I think any video game franchise that enters into the fourth iteration,
yeah,
it's a weird, it's a sticky situation, because the people who love your game, they're probably burnt out by those mechanics at that point. But you can't just assume everybody playing it has played 1, 2, and 3. So it's like, what do? You reinvent it, or do you just give them more of the same?
Yeah, it's funny, because I remember having the same thought playing Devil May Cry 4. I was like, this is fine, but I kind of feel like I've done this, like. And that, and 5 is great. Like, yeah. Well, they did a thing in between those two, but 5 has been awesome. So
take a little
break and then do something.
Yeah,
a little
I was gonna
bit
say.
Different.
I think if there's a break, because even with Zelda, like, there was a pretty big gap between Skyward Sword and Breath of the Wild, wasn't there?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And it kind of lets the fans cool down, and so by the time you come back to it, it's like, well, you can do more new things.
Zelda is an interesting example because they're all the same, but at the same time, they're not. I feel like every game has a vastly different aspect to it.
Yeah.
You know, Breath of the Wild had all the familiar aspects of Zelda and all the familiar like cultures that live within Zelda, the Gorons and the Zoras. But then at the same time, it was this open world thing with all of these new additions that. So Zelda in the way is the same, but different. Resident Evil 4 is a great example of doing a fourth game right, because that kind of reinvented the genre.
Yeah,
with Zelda, I kind of felt like everything from Ocarina of Time until like through like maybe Skyward Sword, they're all different. Like, Zelda does a good job at like putting each one in a different kind of setting and a different, with a whole different vibe, but I did feel like fundamentally they were kind of the same. Like, I felt like I was kind of by Twilight Princess, I was feeling like, I feel like I've done this a bunch of times. Like, Skyward Sword, I keep saying it instead.
Yeah.
Twilight Princess is probably my favorite of the 3D ones, but I felt when it was wrapping up, I was like, I hope they don't make another one. I hope they like this, you know? Like, I hope they drastically change it up. And Skyward Sword kind of didn't. Like, that.
Skyward Sword was.
Oh, you had Wind Waker in there as well.
Before that. But Skyward Sword just kind of like, I still felt like I was doing similar kind of the things, but only in a few different areas. And so I got, that was why I couldn't like hang with that. But then Breath of the Wild totally like,
what was the,
gutted the whole thing, and I was happy for it.
What was the Mario game before Odyssey? Was it 3D World on the Wii U?
Does that count? Like, I mean,
my first thought was Super Mario Galaxy between Odyssey.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
All those ones in between were like
different.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, the
3D World, new Super Mario Brothers, Wii U, and all those.
Those are 2D. But I love 3D World so much that might be my, I think it might be my favorite
Mario
3D
Art?
Mario. Yeah. No, 3D World, the one on the Wii U.
Mm.
I think that might be my favorite like 3D Mario.
See, that was where I was getting bored. I felt like Mario, and I still do, honestly, like, Mario has been caught in this thing for so long where it has to like live up to what people expect Mario to be. And it was Odyssey that I thought, oh, maybe they're like getting out of this finally. Like maybe they're, and it didn't.
Yeah, you know what?
I enjoyed all of them. I enjoyed 3D World. Yeah. I have fun with all of them.
The more time I spend away from Odyssey, the more I think like I don't ever want to go back to that.
It's
like,
too, yeah, it's too I just, big. That series needs like a Mario 2 again or like, you know, something where it's like, everything is, the rules are off of what you right. expect from Mario.
And I thought
Mario.
The hat thing was going to be that, because it's a cool idea.
Yeah, yeah, it was a cool idea. And again, I still had fun playing it. I'm not saying I didn't have fun. But yeah, I just kind of felt this
after
feeling of just...
Mario Galaxy, and Mario Galaxy 2 even, that's the last time I was like, my mind was blown by a Mario game. And now it's just like, I don't know.
To be fair, like I kind of missed out on Mario on both galaxies, and so when I got my Wii U, I got 3D World, and I really liked it. And I missed 3D Land too. And a lot of the people that complain that 3D World is too similar to 3D World, and they're like, it's the same game. But I didn't have a 3DS at that time,
right?
And so that was for me a breath of fresh air because it was like a nice mix between the 3D and the level based like 2D kind of stuff. But Odyssey was good. I mean, Odyssey was more of a spiritual successor to Galaxy and to...
Like, yeah, and that's why I kind of felt like that was the sequel. Like everything 3D, else is kind of just like, oh, here's a Mario game, Doug.
I loved Mario Odyssey. I put it in top three. Good. I don't know.
Top three?
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, it might even be contender for my favorite. But
favorite Mario game?
Yeah. But that's just me.
The one you're talking about has that cat power, right? Yeah.
Some people mentioned, though, that like Mario Sunshine was one where they really tried to... take it in a different direction. It didn't pay off. So maybe that's kind of their fear. And I could see that. I was watching something recently. I was watching a video online. I think it was like, I was putting some stuff on, just stuff on YouTube while I was working or something. It was like video game historian or something like that. I don't remember what it was. But it was talking about the Super Mario Land series on Game Boy. Because I played all the Game Boy ones. I loved the original Game Boy and I played it all the time. But I really liked Super Mario Land because it kind of had Mario 2 vibes where it was like, okay, all the usual stuff is thrown out. Like you don't have a fireball, you have like a rubber ball. Like it was like what? And you would throw it and it would bounce off stuff and it just made, you know, and the enemies weren't the same. You were like
the bugs.
Yeah, there were bugs, like, and bugs. You were in Egypt, and it was just weird. The whole thing was weird. And then what's funny is in that video, they gave the history of these games. I remember Mario Land 2 was a lot more like traditional Mario. And in that video, they talked about how the developers wanted to go, like Miyamoto, this is the first Mario game and series that he wasn't involved in. So these guys were like, well, let's do something way different. And they did with that first Mario Land, but then they went even weirder with the second one, and Nintendo stepped in like, no. There's things people expect. You got to like leave that. Like, you know, oh, okay. And so that's why the second one is left. But you could see kind of like, I think Nintendo does have a fear of branching out too much. Like, that's such a constant and it works. It's, I can't say none of them are fun, you know, but I think that there's definitely a fear there of going like real.
Maybe they use other characters like Luigi for that. Like, with Luigi's Mansion. Yeah, they're like, hey, we want to make a totally different style of Mario game. Well, let's just make Luigi the main character.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or whatever. What was
and Captain Toad?
Yeah, Captain Toad, that was the Yoshi, most fun.
What's the yarn thing with Yoshi?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the yarn Woolly one? World? Yeah, Woolly World.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. Like,
they experiment with other franchises.
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker was probably the most fun I had with a Nintendo game in the last couple of years. Aside from Splatoon, I really like Splatoon. But that Captain Toad is good.
The DLC that's called, like, pure co-op, and you actually have to like work together. We haven't even tried it yet, but apparently it's great.
I was just about to say there's a new Yoshi coming out, I think, while we're at PAX.
Oh, really?
For Switch, yeah. I can't even, Crafted World, Yoshi's Crafted World or something. But I think that's a big aspect of it that I miss too, is like these different kind of aesthetics and stuff. Trying things with that. Mario World 2 was technically a Yoshi game. I loved that was, it was almost like a kid's storybook. Like everything was crayon. And I guess this is kind of the evolution of that. But anyway, yeah, I love the Yoshi platformer games. Those are fun.
I wish they would bring back Paper Mario properly. Cause like,
it's funny they haven't.
I'm a humongous fan of the first two games. Those are like top five games for me. And man, they've really dunked on that franchise with every iteration. They keep trying. Yeah. That's the thing, is like, they keep trying to do something new. But I think from what I've seen, all the fans just want another like story-based, charming, funny game. but they like always push it too far in some weird direction. Like now it's all stickers. Now yeah. it's all this. And they do have Mario and Luigi. I think that's where they dump all of like the RPG, more RPG-ish elements.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just weird. There's like two parallel RPG tracks that they do for Mario games. And like now I just don't really care about either of them because they've like split it up too much. And
yeah, I was never big on Paper Mario. Like Mario RPG was one of my favorite games ever. Yeah. For some reason, when it went into Paper Mario, I the story was just kind of goofy to me, and I didn't really... For some reason, Mario RPG was in this middle ground of, like, it was silly, but it had, like, a decent RPG story somehow, and yeah I feel like they've all gotten further from that, definitely, and I feel like I've heard, like, conspiracy stuff about how, like, yeah, like, Miyamoto doesn't like the way that they've gone, so he tries to interject something into each one or something, and... People are blaming him. I don't know.
Alex Jones, get on it. Jones.
Yeah, there it is.
Prison Planet.
Yeah. I've heard Miyamoto doesn't like too much Mario story in Mario games.
I think some games, yeah. Well, I don't disagree with... I remember Mario Sunshine had, like, it felt like never-ending cutscenes and stuff. So I agree in that regard. But with an RPG, I feel like you kind of expect it or need it.
What's the next big game for Nintendo? I mean, Mario Maker, I guess.
Pokemon, the new Pokemon.
Oh.
The mainline Pokemon on Switch.
That's a big deal, I guess, right?
Yeah, Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
The thing is, though, it's like, after the last Direct they did, I don't really know what big franchises left that they haven't iterated on. Because, like, we have a Pokemon that's coming up. We have Animal Crossing. We know that's coming.
Yeah.
There was just a Mario game. There's a
Smash Brothers. Yeah. They did Zelda. They did Mario. No, Mario Kart, I guess, was the one from the Wii U. So
they
could
do
that.
There was a Switch.
Yeah, there could be a new one.
Update. Like, there was a Deluxe.
Yeah, there was a Deluxe. So and they have it out. But yeah, they could do a new one for
that. RBI Baseball.
I think
F-Zero.
I think that's out.
Really?
Shit.
I think that is a thing.
You would know. You're the baseball man.
I know. And you know what, you guys? Over here. The new MLB The Show is coming out this month.
Are you stoked?
I am stoked. I am very excited to play more baseball games.
You've even got your baseball hat on right now.
And it's baseball.
You guys, we are like 9 days away from opening day. So
how far can you throw a baseball?
Pretty far.
I can answer this.
Yeah, go ahead.
He could throw it from Eric's house to the In-N-Out Burger.
Well, I don't know how long.
I said something like that one time in my life, and now you hold
it,
me to
but
it.
Far. I it would have to roll, Derek.
I could throw.
What is that, like 4 or 5 blocks?
Legitimately, I bet I could throw a baseball.
It's a lie is what it is, Derek.
I'm thinking like a football field length. From the end
you
zone.
You could throw a baseball across an entire football
field? I think I would
field?
Get from the end zone to the opposite like 20-yard line.
Holy
the 20-yard line.
Oh, man.
So how long is that, 80 yards?
80 yards.
Oh, my God.
Fuck,
well,
dude,
that,
you should
maybe,
be,
that maybe is
what are you doing here making video game
wait
videos
minute,
for?
Minute,
you should be in the big leagues.
How many feet is that? That sounds like a lot of feet. 80 times 3.
40 feet.
240
no,
feet.
No, I could do that. Yeah. I bet I could do that.
That's further than like Tiger Woods could hit a golf ball.
That's definitely
Christ.
Not true.
You're a fucking superstar.
I think I will make a video.
The Padres should sign you.
Oh. I agree. They should sign me. Sponsor. I put it out in the universe that I want to throw the opening pitch. I want to throw the first pitch at a game at some point in my
life.
Yeah,
but you have to be famous.
I know. I know, but they get people who aren't famous, and I think the level of fame I have now, which is very low.
Do you have the blue check?
I think I'm so close to, like, yeah. I'm getting, like...
You got the blue check?
I think Rocco's famous enough to throw out the first pitch, but
yeah, I would rather die.
Not
if
you.
Rocco's
I would not, in a million years, put myself in a position where an arena full of people is watching how I throw a ball.
Come
like,
on,
oh,
dude.
Let's see how good he throws it. Let's see. I would just be like...
You got a Twitter hoodie, even.
I'm just saying you're famous enough to do it.
Yeah.
You definitely do it.
I think... No. That
happily not.
Is like a lifelong dream of mine. I knew I was never good enough to make it to the pros, but I thought maybe one day if I play my cards right, I could throw a pitch. So if I ever do it, I'm going to go on the mound. You're not supposed to. And I'm going to throw a real pitch and
Wait,
see
you're
what
not
happens.
You're supposed to go on the
go
mound?
Because they rake it. They make it look all nice. You go in front. It's like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not doing
hey,
that.
Hey, if I'm throwing the first pitch, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm kicking that fucking mound. I'm
yeah.
fucking... Rubbing it out, I'm picking up the dirt,
dude,
smearing it all over myself.
I
pull out my pants, shit
think,
on it, wow. throw the ball.
I'm gonna throw it as hard as I can,
mark my territory,
and hope for the best. But I'm gonna give a real pitch. I'm not gonna fuck around if I when I do it. I should say.
I would love to see it. Rocco throw the first pitch. Not no. You're getting me wrong. Not that he would be bad. When Rocco does a live performance, he purposely fucking fucks with everything. So
yeah.
I know Rocco would be like dropping the ball, like chasing it around. The whole stadium would be booing at him. He'd be like pretending like he doesn't know where home plate is.
That's true. I would lean into making it just miserable.
Yeah, it'd be fucking hilarious.
You put mustard on the ball that way.
Let your butt crack out when you're trying to pick it up.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat did bring up a good point. In all honesty, it made me feel a lot better about it. Like it's going to happen. But they said... you really can't do worse than 50 Cent. Why be embarrassed? 50
but 50 Cent.
It's true. 50 Cent. I'm
not a baseball historian.
50 Cent's opening pitch was...
it's ungodly.
Unbelievable.
What did he do?
I love Googling botched first pitches, like celebrity fuck-ups like that. Chris Rock's is also terrible.
He scrubbed it. Chris Rock has
You can't find it.
Tried to scrub it from the internet.
Yeah.
There's services I think you can pay for that. And there's other really embarrassing ones. But yeah, the 50 Cent one.
What did he do?
50 Cent just, it was just the worst throw you've ever seen.
It falls short.
He looks like 50 Cent, you know, he's got that swagger, whatever. And then he walks up and
it's seriously like,
oh no.
There is something like when you see a person who like is cool, 50 Cent is a cool guy.
Yeah.
And when you see him throwing it, it is like a, he like pushes the ball out. It's like shit.
I would just roll it.
Shit, dude.
Softball pitch with the windup.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't take yourself so seriously. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Didn't you also want to carry the Olympic torch?
I still want I'm going to do that.
Yeah. He wants to go to the moon. He wants to be president.
If you look at my Twitter handle. My Twitter handle right now, it says
seriously.
Future Olympic torchbearer and first pitch thrower.
Do you have any achievable goals?
Those are two achievable goals that I can make happen.
No.
Wait a minute. The first, the Olympic torch runs through the entire country, right? And when it goes through LA, it will go through San Diego, and you need a new torch bearer for every mile. I'm sure I could get my way into one of those miles at some point.
You're right.
I believe in you, but...
Kevin,
yeah, those spots have already been picked.
Fuck up.
Yeah, you didn't reserve.
Is there like a Google sign-up sheet somewhere?
Yeah. I've go on the website and
I
check.
Have looked. Okay.
They probably just go to the Olympic
Training honestly, center. Only person here famous enough to be the torchbearer is Rocco. So, I'm sorry.
No, what? No.
You are.
You wouldn't feel comfortable bearing the torch for a mile?
Me?
It's an honor.
I'm not doing any of that shit.
No, you guys.
He'd be fucking dropping the torch, fucking dipping it in water.
I want it so bad. And I do feel like I have always supported the Olympics, and I vocally, you know, told people to watch it, whatever. They could give me one and let me run 1 mile with it. After that, you can keep the torch, you guys. I need this in my life so bad.
You know,
so I don't know who we have to call, we have to do, but I need to do this.
I know what this is like. Guys, this is like when we fly and Sean just wants to look out the window in the airplane.
Yeah.
But Rocco just wants to stretch out and get a nice nap in. And, you know, that's the seat with the wall you can lean up against, obviously.
Yeah, when we fly, Sean has to look out the window.
I like that.
Right? That's a thing?
It is a thing. Yeah. For several reasons. I get scared of flying, and so I have to think, we could land there, we'd be fine. We could land there, we'd be fine. Although, that makes no fucking sense, I know. And then I also get bored, and so sometimes it's nice to look out the window and look at what's passing you by.
So I am on the other end of the spectrum. Close the fucking window. I'm going to sleep. So when we fly, it can be a deadly combination.
Yeah.
Because I want to sit in a seat where no one's going to get up and go to the bathroom or anything. I'm the kind of person that will have a 5-6 hour flight. I will sit in the seat and wake up where we land. And that's it. And so if I put myself in a position, sometimes, honestly, too, like when we do these conventions, sometimes, not every time, but sometimes, like I'll be getting video shit ready up until the night before. And so I've barely slept. So it's like, I don't fuck with me. Like I'm just going to sleep, you know, whatever. But then it's like who, you know, one versus the other. I need to see out the window. I need the window closed. I need to not be disturbed. You know, lest I get bothered one time.
Yeah. I know. There have been times, Rocco, you had the window seat and you said you can have the window, but will you need to go to the bathroom during the flight? I don't know. Fucking probably.
Then
I have to go. Now it's in my head, it's like, oh shit, I'm gonna have to go.
I can think of one. I don't remember where we went, but Sean, I was seriously like, I'm so like not rested. Like I need to sleep on this flight. I'm dying. They put me in the window seat, but you can have it as long as you do not get up. Like, do we have a deal? And you were like, absolutely. I'm going right before we fly. Don't worry about it. And I remember halfway through that flight,
I knew it.
It was, hey man, I'm really sorry.
It's because you said it.
And I just, and I woke up, and you know, here's the thing. Right now I'm talking about it and I'm like, why did he have to get up? Nah. But forgiven, huh? But when I'm half asleep after not getting much sleep on a plane, everything is heightened. So he woke me up to tell me, and it was like telling the Godfather bad news. It was like, you gotta go to the bathroom.
Oh, shit.
And I just remember, I remember specifically what I did and thinking later, like, you were such a fucking baby on that flight. Because I was like, you really gotta go. Huh? Like, I was just so, like, life and death about it.
Yeah.
But thinking back, we did have an oath.
And I do think that that oath is what started this whole problem to begin with.
Yeah.
Because if you say you can't go to the bathroom, the first thing my brain thinks is like, well,
don't think of elephants. Yeah, and that's
the first
thing.
You're going to go to the bathroom.
But that wake up anger is real. I suffer from that too. Like, if I'm awoken, I'll overreact and make the situation worse just because. Fuck, if someone would have just told me this when I was already awake, it'd be fine. But when you're awoken with bad news, it's like,
I have seen the both of your faces. And yeah, Garrett, you always stand up. You always fix your hair, look around annoyed. That's your move. I know.
When I wake up?
When you wake up from a flight and someone makes you get up, like whether it be me or somebody else, you always just...
I don't try to look so annoyed.
Well, you do.
Oh, God.
You do. And now I prefer it. I 1,000% prefer it when I sit next to complete strangers than these people. Because it's like,
but I don't even
if
really
I wake
care.
Them up, if I wake them up, who cares? I'll never see them again. It's not my problem.
That's that paralysis anger that you suffer from in the first 5 minutes of being awoken. I can't help it, but I really have no memory or recollection that doesn't even compile up, and I get mad at you after like 5 years.
Yeah,
I have no problem falling asleep on a plane. When people wake me up, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But do you ever experience you're asleep on a plane and suddenly you just get this rush of fear and you like snap awake? That'll happen to me. Like, I'm sleeping, and then in my like dreams, I realize, like, I don't know where I am. Where the fuck am I? Oh, I'm on a plane. Oh, I'm on a plane. One time, I was sleeping on a plane, and I almost shit my pants. I woke up, and for whatever reason, in that first 5 minutes of being awake, thought I saw a haze of smoke coming through the cabin.
Oh, fuck.
And I, like, was sleeping. I was like, and thinking just like, what the fuck? There's fucking smoke in the cat. And this was like right after fucking Malaysia flight disappeared.
Yeah,
and all these people were like, oh, maybe a tire caught on fire and everybody had smoke inhalation and it just went into the ocean. I was like, is there a fucking tire on fire? Is this fucking, what's going on? What the fuck is going on? And I remember looking around me like, well, nobody else seems to give a shit. And I was just asleep, so... Maybe I don't need to make a big deal out of this.
Big
right
final
now.
Destination.
The only time I've ever had any kind of thought, I would say no, I've never had that happen to me, Derek, but I've had it just in the sense of like there's flights I'm trying to sleep and it is very bumpy and I know it and I'm just trying to like, hey, Rock, go back to sleep. Just go back to sleep. Just go back to sleep. You know, like that. I'll have that happen.
But you can do that?
What's that?
You can go back to sleep in the turbulence?
Oh, not very well. I'm doing my best.
Wow.
Like, just like Rocco, give in. You know you're tired. Just give in to
like
it.
Like turbulence woke you up?
Because I don't, I mean, I don't like that. I'm scared during that, you know, just like, you know, but I was going to say though, that thought that you're talking about like, oh, nobody else is making a big deal out of it. I have been woken out of, I've been woken up by turbulence thinking it's worse than it is.
Yeah.
And then I've had that same thought where I look around and I go, oh, no one's freaking out. So it's not that bad. Okay.
Yeah.
Just try to sleep. Except that one horrible flight we had that one time.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing that I always do. Oh, nobody's making a big deal. It's all good. And as I'm saying that, that girl's going, oh my God. Hey, can we get a nurse over here? Can we get
is there
I'm
a
like,
doctor on
and,
the flight?
And that was where I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
I started thinking, like, what the fuck is going on right
now? So that was bad. That was very
Yeah.
You know how, like, when you're sleeping and you'll suddenly feel like you're falling and it like, jolts you awake?
Yeah, I've had that.
I feel like that'd be the worst on a plane.
Yeah, totally.
Thankfully, that's never happened to me, but I feel like you would just
I can't sleep on a plane. I just can't.
Yeah, I can't do it.
There was one flight that, I think it was just me and Jericho in this place, and I think we were going to Boston. It was somewhere very far. It was a very far flight. And the captain came on and was like, okay, so unfortunately, it's bad weather the entire way, and we're expecting kind of a bumpy ride the entire time. And then Jericho looks at me and goes, fuck yeah.
when I hear
roller coaster time,
I think we talked about this, but when I get an announcement like that, it hasn't happened to me very many times, but when they flat out say it's like, oh, it's not going to be a fun one or something like that.
Yeah.
I have to lean into it all the way, and I'll put on like death metal on my headphones. Always. Like, okay, let's do it. You know,
I find when they warn you it's going to be a bad flight, it's never as bad. In my mind, I'm prepared for like, this shit's going to be fucking wild. Yeah. And it's just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, then it's over. But when they don't say anything and the plane is like, I'm like, okay, so do they know what's going on up there? Yeah. Like,
I had the opposite happen to me this last time when I flew to Florida last month. On the way there, they were like, "Hey, nothing but clear weather from here to there, so we're gonna open this thing up." That happened to me. Yeah. That happened to me on the way to Japan once, and I got there in like 8.5 hours, which was, for Japan was pretty fast. And then Florida, I was there in like 4.5 or something like that. It was pretty. Yeah, they were like, it was all clear weather between here and there. So
why are people saying this is the Rooster Teeth podcast all of a sudden?
I haven't mentioned my Tesla.
Yeah,
I haven't even said word one about my
Tesla.
Or that I pre-ordered the Model Y last night.
Our poor fans have never taken a plane flight out there. I'm sorry. I hope you get to experience the miracle of flight someday.
Yeah, and I hope you pre-order a Model Y like I did last night, because that's what I do. I have 4 of them. And I haven't charged one. I don't have any place to do it. Anyway.
Y-Wing or Model Y?
Both.
Oh, shit.
They're full-scale Y-Wing at Galaxy's Edge. I already have one. I said make 2.
Keep one in the box.
No. I don't know where I was going with that now.
Oh, merch.mega64?
No, it wasn't that. Nope. That's not even correct.
I know.
No, it was about the plane thing. I can't remember. I can't remember now. Yeah, I can't remember.
Just take your time. Remember, we're talking about turbulence. It's never as bad as they say.
Yeah,
Florida, 4.5 hours.
No, he went to Japan in 8.5 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Wow. That's still a long flight. Like again, I can sleep on a plane. That's what I was going to bring up. Sleeping on a plane, like, I can do it pretty easily, but it's rare that I do it, like, maybe the whole time. Like, I'll wake up at some point, you know? Especially if it's like a 10-hour flight or something like that. There's no way I'm sleeping that whole time, but there was one time going to Japan. It was about 10. They said, like, it's going to take 10 and a half or something. And I was so tired. I'm like, I'm going to sleep as much as I can. And I do remember waking up and they're like, all right, we're about an hour away from landing. And I was like, oh, that's the best thing I've ever heard. Cause I brought so many things that I thought I was going to be bored. But my brother just recently, my brother hasn't flown a lot, but his work asked him to go to the East Coast. And so he doesn't have, I mean, he's flown, but he doesn't have a ton of experience.
Right.
And he's like, do you think a red eye would be okay? Like, or would I hate that? What do you think? And I'm like, it just depends if you can sleep on a plane or not. You know what I mean? Like, I can, so I don't mind it. You're not going to get the best sleep of your life, but it's not that big of a deal to me, you know?
Yeah.
So that's up to you. And he found out he was more on Sean's side.
Oh,
and
worst
side
to be
on. He made the Sean mistake. He said,
"Did you take NyQuil?"
Yep. Oh. He was like, "I took Z-Quil on the way and it did nothing." No. I was like, "This is all word for word what Sean said."
Oh my God!
I took Z-Quil and it didn't work, and I'm going crazy. It was seriously like the same thing, and he's like that. He was like that. Like fucked up my trip. I was like, "Yeah, you got to know." You got to know which one you are.
When I was a kid and I would fly, I would page. Ding, for the stewardess, maybe like every 20 minutes.
Oh my God.
And get another soda.
Yeah.
I was a big boy. I drink a lot of sodas, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't know. Is there a cultural shift? I feel like I don't get as many like drinks now. I feel like it's really like
totally.
Bad form to page the stewardess and ask for a drink.
Yeah.
I see people do it though.
You get one complimentary.
I get the one that they walk by and get. I've never asked them for it.
They
but
come by with drinks. Sometimes, you know, I've seen people like Paige, like, well, drink service will be out in a minute. And I'm thinking, like, just give the person a fucking soda. But I remember being a kid, like, I would get a shit ton of them.
I would ask for, can I get another soda and can I get the can? And they would give me the whole can and the glass of ice. And I would do that, like you say, like, because it was free. That was the benefit of, like,
And you can't sit still.
Oh my God, I'm on a plane. There's nothing to do.
It's kind of backwards logic. A kid can't sit still, so let's give him like 500,000 calories worth of sugar. But yeah, I feel like, less drinks nowadays. Yeah. Alex Jones, get on this. Where'd all the soda service go?
And no peanuts because of allergies. It's all pretzels now.
Yeah, you know, when the last airline that had that was Southwest, I think. And when they announced, all right, that's it, no more peanuts, I was bitter. I was like, they're the one airline that has that. I love the peanuts. But I did not know about nut allergies at all. Uh-huh. I mean, I knew they exist and they're very bad, but I didn't know that it affected like people's, if nuts were like on the tray and they touched the tray like that, they could have a horrible reaction. Yeah. So once I heard it was that bad, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Kill that.
When we worked at Subway way back in the day, we would bake our own cookies, but they had to get rid of the peanut butter cookies because they're like, if you bake any other cookie on this tray, somebody could die.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
I never knew it was to that level. So my heart went out to them.
Yeah.
That's hard.
And honestly, pretzels are just fine. So we're good.
Those
we're
pretzels are nasty. Hey, listen, some airlines give the rolled gold. Those are good. But these little pretzels that these other airlines I tell them, keep them. Those are those are like fish food. Like,
give those to me. I'll eat them.
Do you do that hand gesture to the
I deny you. Keep them. Keep your pretzels.
I pod in Z.
That was me. I pod on you. No pretzels, please. Some airlines.
An astute fan knows what movie that's from.
Some airlines give like Wheat Thins or Cheez-Its. I'm in on that. But the pretzels, please be gone. Be gone. And I say that. I'll be like, please be gone. Back to the cockpit, please. Tell the pilot I do not approve.
In the future, we're going to have these airplanes. They're going to get rid of the seats, and they're going to have like those Riddler's Revenge roller coaster seats.
Yeah.
Where it's basically a bicycle seat on a spring, locks you in the crotch, and you're locked into a standing position. And, you're just like 2 inches away from the person in front of you. I think they could get more people on the planes that way.
There was a news story just about that.
Oh,
There's an airline that wants to do a standing room only flight.
What?
And they're like, we want to sell it as like this cool thing where you just kind of lean against the thing or whatever, and we can get like another row or two of people on there.
Oh my
And yeah,
gosh.
Everyone's like, yeah, fuck off, please. That, like, no.
Turbulence would be great in that.
Jesus fucking Christ. Have you ever been going to the bathroom, like staying up peeing when turbulence hits? Because I've had that happen to me before and it went everywhere.
It's hard mode.
Pee went everywhere.
I've been in there and I caused the turbulence.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they're not good. I missed the entirety of that movie Hitchcock.
I know you
did. Going to the bathroom and that happens, you have to like fill the space. Yeah. Basically like lock yourself in like,
I should have sat down.
Some Into the Spider-Verse.
You never know.
Shit.
You don't want to touch the walls
everywhere.
Of the bathroom either, but you have to brace yourself.
Yeah.
You
got to make sure your muscles are strong.
I just go diagonal. And it's a perfect
fit. When they filmed Apollo 13, they did it in a zero-G plane.
Yeah.
What must going to the bathroom be like on that, man?
Whoa.
You're taking a whiz, and suddenly they're like, action! And the pee starts rising out of the toilet. You're like, no!
I was thinking about filming those scenes. That's like the opposite of what you want flying. Like that's like the literal last thing you want is that motion. You're just floating there. That must be fucking terrifying.
Well, if you're prepared for it, it must be fun.
I don't know. I think maybe everything's blacked out and you're so in the moment you're acting. But like if you're Tom Hanks and you know the plane is nosediving right now and you have to act, fuck that. That sounds impossible.
I feel like you can lean into it because your character is supposed to be,
Like
you're creating a crazy situation and it's just you're reacting to it.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, film on a zero G plane before you talk.
Okay.
Speaking of zero Gs.
Yeah.
You barely have to spend more than that to get something great at shop.mega64.com. In fact, it won't even cost you 1G, somewhere in between 0 and 1.
Yeah, 0 Gs, less than 1.
Yeah, 0.0.01, maybe. That's right. We have great deals at shop.mega64.com. In fact, a brand new design just went up for pre-order this Friday. We have a new one. Our friend Jason made a new design, and we brought back an old classic that people thought was gone forever.
Mm.
We're doing a rare reprint. Check it out. The studio shirt and the retro horror shirt from long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Classic design that we used to have, and it's coming back for one more run. Both of those designs on beautiful, soft, cream color shirts that you can wear yourself. Shop.mega64.com has all of that and more at your disposal, and plenty of other items to choose from.
For every style.
For every style. So check out shop.mega64.com. We have a lot of other stuff that will debut. Actually, at the end of the show, we're going to go into some stuff we're bringing to PAX. If you're going to PAX East, stay tuned. At the end of the show, we'll show you some of the stuff we're debuting there. And, of course, it'll all be online after the show as well. So stay tuned for that.
6 minutes, so buckle up. It's coming.
This is the mid show plug, and we didn't get to it. So God, we have a long way to go.
That was what was happening.
Patreon.com/mega64 is also a great place to go. Not shortly after this broadcast, there will be a brand new friend dimension where we realized Garrett had never played or heard. Well, no, you'd heard of it, but had never seen Onimusha before, and it's made by all the Resident Evil people. I couldn't believe Garrett hadn't played that, so that'll be on our Patreon.
Yeah, that was fun.
In moments after the show tonight, check out patreon.com/mega64. And if you're watching on Twitch, be sure to give us that Twitch Prime sub. You get a free one every month if you have Amazon Prime. Just click the thing, because they might have unsubbed you for the month. So click it. You get extra stuff in our chat and on our stream and all that stuff.
Give us bits.
Exactly.
It's a whole new world.
Be sure to get on that, and don't forget.
It's a whole new world.
Yep.
Wow.
We were talking about shitting on an airplane. I can't remember.
Covered shitting on an airplane, shitting at school. Where else have we shat?
Oh, you know what? Today is St. Patrick's Day, the day that we're recording this. And there has not been any festive St. Patrick's Day stuff. So I know the big thing to do is drink a beer. So I'm going to drink a beer. I got my...
You drink a Guinness?
Duff.
St. Paddy's Day Duff. That's
nice. Let it ride.
Is that real
beer?
All
on black.
It's a green Duff.
What do you drink?
Can you do that on YouTube?
Is that a real beer?
Oh, guess what? Stone Cold 316.
Whoa, Rocco.
Oh, I'm mad now. I'm drunk and I'm crazy. Oh, is that what happened? You drink a sip of beer and you go crazy?
You're going to get demonetized.
I will run to the store and get you a Guinness right now.
I'm good, man. Oh, I couldn't have another drop, but I will.
Oh.
We all went. We had a little trip recently. We all went to Universal.
Yeah.
We were in the area for a bunch of business stuff. I'll say that. And they have a Simpsons Land, and they recreated the Quickie Mart, and it was really cool. I thought they did a great job with the
Simpsons Land. Moe's Tavern was cool.
Moe's was cool,
but it was also weirdly kind of annoying. It was like Simpsons overload. And as a Simpsons fan back in the day, no longer anymore, it was like, oh, wow. Oh, but then every once in a while you just get like a wave of like, okay, too much. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
It was an interesting experience.
It's very loud. It's very in your face. But they had the Quickie Mart. They had Duffs. And I was like, oh, that's cool that they actually had like the Duff in a can. And I found out, oh, it's an energy drink. It's not a beer.
Oh.
So I was like, yeah, I'll get one of those. I like that it's in the actual can.
Yeah.
I think this was $7.
Whoa.
What? And I realized, I think there's something. I think $7 is this amount that they just throw at a lot of stuff. And they think that's like just enough that people might still pay it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot, but it's not like 10. You know what I mean? Like, it's just right. There's a lot of theme park food stuff that's $7, like no matter what it is.
Right.
And this was one of them where I was like, really? That was $7? Okay.
Does it taste good?
Oh, amazing.
Because it tastes like Duff.
It tastes like a Red Bull.
Super, super, super orange. Mm. It's like you know what? Honestly, it's like a cactus cooler with the volume turned up.
Ooh.
Whoa. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Okay. So that's a good review.
Nice.
So there you have it.
Cool. Well, there you go.
Happy St. Paddy's Day.
I had a guy come to me and it's like, so what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, what? He's like, St. Patrick's Day, what are you doing? I'm like,
man.
I know. He's like, oh, your name is Sean. Are you not? Oh. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, man.
No.
Sean or Chatfield?
It's just me. Just me.
You can't guess somebody's ethnicity based off their first name.
Well, he took a shot. You don't always make them.
Somebody out there is going to think I'm German.
He's
Derek.
He's that guy asking girls how far along they are. when they're pregnant. He's one of those guys.
When is do you guys do anything for St. Patrick's Day? Do your kids do anything? Like
my kids?
Yeah, do they like get excited about it? For some reason when I was a kid, I was like excited and I would wear green. Yeah. And then I hit I don't remember what age, but I was just like, nothing the fuck else happens on this day.
Well, when you're a kid, you're excited for every holiday.
Yeah, of course.
And that's the thing is my kids definitely were excited to wear green today. Very excited about that. But
were you gonna pinch them if they didn't?
Yeah. Yeah, it was gonna ruin their life.
Kill them.
Get him. Beckett, I guess, had this little like party at his school. There's like little like bags of candy and like little gold pieces, whatever. And he dropped the bag in the car and didn't pick it up. And so Sawyer got in the car and went, "Oh, the leprechaun brought these!" And we're like super excited that the leprechaun brought the candy and gold. And so she's like, "Can I eat this?" And I didn't want to tell her that wasn't real. I'm like, "Yeah, go ahead, eat all of it. The leprechaun brought it for you, I guess. I'll buy Beckett more candy later."
You should watch the movie Leprechaun with your kids.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I haven't seen it, so I'm sure they'll love it.
They'll love it.
Okay, cool.
My brother found a rad shirt. He found a Japanese leprechaun shirt where it's just the poster for that movie and it's all in Japanese. I don't know. It looked cool. That's all. I just want to show that. Aren't they doing a new one or something? Or they're doing? I think they're doing a movie and then they're doing a series or something. Or maybe I'm thinking of, I might be thinking of Child's Play.
I heard that today on the Sci-Fi Channel, they're doing all the movies, Leprechaun movies, chronologically, and they're ending it with a new one that is like the world premiere of it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what I was saying.
That's what I've heard.
No, Child's Play is getting like a reboot movie.
Once again, because they reboot it every 10 years.
Did they reboot it before, though? I thought they just continued it.
Well, they resurrect. I guess a reboot would be different, but they always resurrect the franchise.
Yeah.
Just when you think they can't have this doll come back to fucking life, Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky.
Yeah, but those are still in the same
sneeze
continuity.
Of Chucky.
Yeah, they are. As you know, I'm not saying they're good, but but this one is actually like a reboot. But I guess there's a TV series, and that one's not. That one's like the original creator of it is writing it, and it's continuing. It's
why
like, does Child's Play need to go off in all these?
Yeah,
like,
you muddy the waters by putting them both out at the same time.
Yeah, it just seems weird.
Which the original which? Child's Play is worth viewing. I think, you know.
I just saw it recently. It was something else. But yeah, I would say that.
It's interesting. They don't make movies like that anymore. It's worth the experience. But 2 through 10, you could skip them.
Two I got through a 10. Even just saying that is like, oh my God.
I don't know how many there are. Probably.
Yeah. No, you're close.
I think there's about 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Sawyer was watching YouTube videos, and it was one of those things that they fuck with kids, I guess. And it was like a normal video, a little kid video. And then the middle was like this super gory scene from Child's Play.
Oh, wow.
And like,
what the fuck?
And then went back to the kids video. But that scene, like, fucked my life up. Like, she was so scared. Like, nightmares. She's still terrified of that Chucky doll. And it's just like, fuck. If they make a new one and there's trailers out, that's going to ruin my life. They can't do this to me. She's so scared of that thing.
Wait, did they put that in the middle of a video?
Yeah, there was a little kid video. It was like a happy little like elf video or whatever it was.
Was it really?
What? Yeah. It was some little like kid video. And then like in the middle of it, they just put in that scene to scare kids. And then...
Did you report it? I would have reported that fucking thing.
Honestly, I don't think I did. I was so busy taking care of her and like making sure... I didn't even like think about that. I was like, worried about her.
Did she start screaming and stuff?
Yeah, she got super scared and crying. And like... I mean, seriously.
So you ran over and were like, what the fuck is this? And then it went back to... You saw it change right back.
Went back to the
thing,
yeah.
That is fucked up.
Yeah, people are fucked up.
I'm trying to imagine being a little kid watching YouTube that's suddenly like, oh, what's this doll?
Yeah.
Oh, he's getting a knife. Holy shit.
Yeah.
What?
I would have been scared shitless.
Dolls do this?
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah. It was fucked up. It's fucked up. So the last thing I need is that movie to come back.
It is.
When I was a kid in first grade, somebody told me the story of Bloody Mary. Like,
you
go to the mirror.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
I say Bloody Mary 5 times, Bloody Mary will show up and kill you. And that, like that, for weeks I had nightmares.
Yeah.
And my dad could be like, Bloody Mary's just a cocktail. It's just a drink. I didn't know what a cocktail was, and he like went and he made one. He's like, "This is a Bloody Mary. You're gonna be fucking scared." I don't know if he cursed me, but he's like, "This, why are you having nightmares? It's just a drink." It's like, no, you don't know what Bloody Mary is, Dad. She will kill me.
Yeah. Well, I was the same thing. The play Phantom of the Opera. He comes to a mirror and gets her. So I did not want a mirror in my house because I thought he was going to come through the mirror and grab me, and I was terrified of that.
Yeah.
Kids are crazy, dude.
Yeah, I remember seeing some movie and I can't find it. I cannot find it. If anyone out there can dig this up, let me know. But there's a video or a movie that I saw on TV where like something's in a bush and these kids are like, there's a kid who was like playing violin or something. Like he was coming back from a music class with some other students. Yeah. And he's like, what's that over in the bush? And then they all run screaming, and all you saw, it pans over in the bush. All you see is the violin is getting sucked into the, like it's eating it. Like it already ate the kid, but now it's eating the violin. And for some reason, that shot of that violin was burned into my brain as a kid, and I never wanted to go near any bush. I was like, who knows what's in these bushes? Like, there's like, you know, I feel like it was a scene from like It or something, but that doesn't, I mean, it doesn't have a violin in it. So I don't know.
Who knows? But the shit that is kids. But that's the thing is like for Sawyer, the leprechaun really did come. You know, like you believe anything because why would you not? Like you're told the world is magical, so what you just believe it.
Well, you're the parent. You could have fixed that.
Instead, like, the leprechaun didn't come.
Beckett dropped the candy.
No, Beckett's lazy. He didn't pick up his candy. So yeah, yours.
So it's yours now.
I know. Get our custom in the real world.
Well, now the good guy doll is going to come. When they reboot that franchise, you're gonna have to talk her off
no,
the ledge.
He's the nice one. He's gonna be at the bad one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember Jamie Lee Curtis, I think, talked about like I don't, you know, maintain any of those things with my kids, like Santa or any of that stuff. Like I don't wanna
she doesn't
put that in their lives at all. Like I don't wanna like ever be dishonest to my kid about that. Like she got like real like but I just thought like I don't know if I look at it as like lying to them. I just think it's like kids have big imaginations and you feed it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think there's a cutoff.
Oh, like, there's a cutoff. Yeah.
Sure, sure.
You know, but yeah, to each their own.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you ever been playing a video game with a younger kid and something like super gory and violent in the game has happened and you realize like, oh, this is probably a little much for him. Like, I'm babysitting, but maybe I should be playing more of a teen-rated game.
When I was a kid, I don't know, maybe I was like 11, and I had like a neighborhood friend who was maybe like 7. I was playing Dino Crisis, which is a little bit gorier, and something happened, and the kid threw up next to me.
What, Frank? He threw up? You made him throw up?
I don't know, we're playing Dino Crisis. His parents don't play this shit, but my mom didn't know what the games were. So she let me,
I
threw up next to me.
I was like,
oh my God.
I was babysitting and like watching me and my girlfriend at the time, long ago, we're watching her little brother. We had him over for like the night at our apartment. And I was playing the first Dead Rising.
Yeah.
And remember the boss, it's a clown with two chainsaws.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
He like when you beat him, he like disembowels his own body with his chainsaw.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He like cuts his belly and then his guts kind of spill out and he cuts his head off and all this shit happened. And I remember like looking down and this kid is like, oh, like a mouth agape, like, oh, like making noise. Like, and then he goes like, I think this is too much. He told me like, I think this is too much. I'd never seen, I didn't realize like, at the time, like, oh, this kid's like a little too young. Shit.
I had that happen to me fairly recently in the past maybe 2 years. Well, yeah, past couple years. We had, I think it was my birthday or there was some family thing where it was like, oh, why don't I just invite everyone over my place, you know, and that way the kids can like check out VR and stuff like that. Because I have all the games and stuff. So it was just like, yeah, the kids will enjoy that. Yeah, let them do that. All right, great. And because all the kids in my family want to see all the video game stuff that I have. So I was showing them that. And they asked to see everything on my PS4. So we checked out Trials and we checked out Tron Runner and we checked out whatever. And then I showed them PT.
Oh Jesus.
And I thought, and I told them, I'm like, you know, this is creepy, just so you know. Like you're going down in like a creepy hallway in there. Okay. And I just wasn't thinking. I went through every single thing. And I thought, like, I don't know what I was thinking at the time, but man, they walked. It was like I thought, well, nothing really happens until later in it, so let them just walk around and then they'll move on. I mean, the second we started, he got tackled by that thing. Remember that thing jumps out at you? I mean, normally that doesn't happen until like a few iterations, right? Yeah. I would think. I thought. I'm talking as soon as that thing fucking started, it was.
You're talking about Lisa.
That's funny.
And she those kids, I remember that happening and in my brain going, oh no, oh, I wonder if this scared them. And I looked at all my cousins' kids. It was like those kids fucking just bricked. Like if you've ever seen computers just shut down, like freeze and shut down, like they were all just like. Like they, it took them a minute to just even make a sound. It was like, fuck. And then, yeah, their parents were like, hey, I wouldn't let them play that. It was like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Well, it had no rating.
Yeah.
It was a demo.
It's just a demo. But I really thought I was just going to let them walk to the end of the hallway and back, and then that's it. But
that's the worst
that
idea.
Thing showed up a little early.
It's a little creepy.
Well, literally in that game, you walk through that hallway, there's like a radio story, like the man shot his wife and
I don't think
child
they could hear it. I think
with
there was music.
Gun. Oh, okay.
So they, yeah, see,
they're
so
like
it
playing kids'
fine.
Bops while they're
she
playing
had
PC. Yeah.
Job
it would,
a grocery
the first
store
cut
counter
is the deepest. Yeah, it was bad.
She
I mean, those kids
hired
turned white. And
the
then, and one of them started the kitchen demo in VR, too. The Resident Evil. Where she like comes at you with a knife. Yeah, they started that, but they didn't make it to that.
Kid in VR.
I was like, no, you don't need to see that.
You said the last one is scary. I'll show you this.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
that was fun. All right, put this VR helmet on.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were checking out, like, there's a lot of fun stuff on there, but they kept going to the kitchen demo. Like, oh, what's in the kitchen? That's like, not anything you want.
Be
please
careful
stop
what you wish for.
Don't go in there. Everyone, the big hit was the Star Wars
oh, of course.
Thing.
Yeah.
The
Battlefront.
Yeah, and it bums me out that the second one didn't have another like cool VR thing.
Yeah. Just yeah, that's the thing.
I mean, I think the second one was disappointing in a lot of regards, but that was really cool when they added that to the
So many
one.
Games I stopped playing before they add a free feature like that. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. I still have never done the Battlefront VR thing cuz it got added after I already gave up on that game.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And then I was just playing Portal 2.
Yeah.
On PS3, and there's like six-axis DLC that got added after I had already put
oh,
that
really?
Game away years ago.
Yeah,
there's
I remember some, hearing about that too.
Some motion controller mode that I've never even seen before I turned that thing back Whoa. On. And didn't know came out, didn't know it was free.
And to take it back to Battlefront, Battlefront 2, you know, was a disaster when it came out, and there was all the loot box fiasco and all of that stuff. That's another one of those games that has continued to deliver free stuff again and again and again and again and again. I mean, even just the other day, it got, like, more, I forget who it was. They've been adding a ton of prequel stuff, but then they added, like, old Obi-Wan, and they added, like, every couple months, they add a whole package of free stuff. No Man's Sky has been doing that, too. No Man's Sky, of course, there's a whole fiasco with that, but I want to say they just announced even another big update for it.
Yeah, like, they turned it around, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, some games try to make it right. Yeah. Some do.
What was the last like big VR game that came out?
The last big VR game?
Tetris Effect.
Tetris Effect, yeah. I would say.
That's true. I just feel like it's kind of dwindled as time has gone on.
Oh, it has.
Which is a shame.
Yeah. But you know what? If you really, I mean, every month or two, there is something pretty cool for it still. Like prior to the Tetris thing, Astrobot, I forgot the name of it.
Yes.
Yeah, the chat is
Astrobot, whatever, was fucking great. That was a legit, I liked that more than the last Mario game. Like, it was a platform game that you you're in it the whole time, and you control it just like a regular platformer, but because you're kind of like the camera behind them, there's stuff you could see that they can't, so it's like, oh shit, there's like a bunch of coins up here. I'm going to send them around me. And like have them go up there. Like I don't know how else to describe it.
You can like interact with the robot too. Like
yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was really really cool.
I'm waiting for a sale on Beam Saber because I really want to play that. Mm. Just seeing people play that in demos and stuff and at conventions, that looks fun to me. But I don't know if I would enjoy that much of that genre music. You know?
Yeah, I find that with VR, I'm more into exploring like worlds and stuff versus like puzzle games.
I've
stuff.
Done a couple,
but then again, the Tetris thing was amazing, so I don't know.
And I already have bought like 3 music based VR games.
Yeah,
and it's like it's all EDM. I don't know if I necessarily need another one. So maybe if that goes down in price, but that looks fun.
Yeah,
you can download your own. I think they have like different song packs though. I don't think it
see
has
that's
to be EDM.
Yeah, that's where they get me. I'm gonna be spending extra now. Damn. I want. Let me import my Rock Band 2 tracks.
put a little leftover crack in there. Have a good time.
Yeah, leftover crack.
Plug in Apple Music.
Put the fucking Beatles on.
Do we want to go through the PAX stuff?
I'm not even ready for that, frankly. Like
I'm gonna have a conversation with you.
I want to talk about at least five more subjects then get to PAX.
I'm gonna have a serious meeting with you later, Rocco.
I have one quick subject. Gaspar Noé's new film's out.
Thank you,
theaters.
Frank.
See, yeah.
Thank you, Frank.
So Gaspar Noé, every time he makes a film, with the exception of his last one, was okay. But every time he makes a film, it's an event. Irreversible was the film with the 10-minute unbroken shot rape scene. Enter the Void was a 3-hour.
See, Sean, do you want to say thank you to Frank?
Enter the Void was the 3-hour psychedelic first person film where at the end the camera ejaculated onto you. His new film is out. His new film is out in theaters. Climax.
Well, it's like the old film goes
incredible.
Right into the new film.
Climax is his most accessible film. It's 90 minutes. It starts out. It takes place in like a French dancing school in the 90s. It starts out as a dance party and then a really bad trip happens and it descends into chaos. It has like one of the most coolest dance sequences I've ever seen. It's really, really fucking cool and fun. If you liked Green Room, that's something I would kind of comparable, like a really lean, gnarly thriller, but where it's kind of fun. Like, just the filmmaking is just like vibrant and aggressive and cool. But this has the same cinematographer as Spring Breakers. It's fucking awesome. So this is exactly like my kind of movie. So that can warn you or invite you in, but Climax ruled.
I saw a film this last week too by the director Blog Jacques.
Entitled, did it come on you?
Entitled Chaos at the Carnival.
Did the movie come on you?
It's got a 30-minute unbroken kindergarten diarrhea scene featuring an adult. He does diarrhea.
Unofficial sequel to Kindergarten Cop, you know.
And
it's a Schwarzenegger lookalike.
There's a 3.5-hour paper cut montage, and it rules.
Put it in VR.
In VR, yeah, that's what I said. Well, if you would let me say it, I mean, that's that's it's not in theaters. It's in the headset.
Straight to Netflix.
That's VR. The only way you can. It's not on Netflix. It's more expensive Netflix.
Who is that director again?
Block Jacques. He's a gambler.
BlockJock.
How the French?
Block Jock.
Block Jock.
Nice.
Anyway, sounds dope. Anyway, I saw the Firefest documentary. No, I'm just kidding. All right,
which one's better?
One.
Just all of them. Let's talk
I saw
about
Beyond the Dome, the Flat Earth documentary that was recommended a few weeks ago. That's all. I just want Sean, you want to talk about that some more? You saw it.
It's
too.
Called Behind the Curve.
Behind the I don't
know. Yeah, because I was going to say the dome thing, I think, Beyond is a Stephen dome. King thing.
Under the
Dome. Under the Dome. Yeah, yeah.
Beyond the Curve.
That movie just pissed me off. Fuck all that.
I believe it now.
What I love is that the movie kind of sabotages everybody they interview because they highlight all the moments where they like defeat their own theories.
Right.
Like, oh, we're going to experiment to prove the Earth is flat. So we're going to shine this laser. And if you see the laser, it's flat. I guess technically if you have to raise the laser up, that would imply a curve. All right. Can you see the laser? No. All right. Raise it up. Shit. I see it. End of movie. It happens like time and again. They're like, they go to the NASA Space Center. They're like, the stuff here doesn't even work. I'm pressing the touch screen and the simulation won't even start. These fucking idiots working at NASA. The cameraman zooms in on a start button on the panel that the guy's sitting next to after he walks away. So for that, it was funny, but everybody in there was just dumb, really infuriating.
I also watched Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah, nice.
I thought, I'm just kidding, I saw that in the chat, and I thought it was funny. I didn't see it.
Beyond the Thunderdome.
I haven't seen any of the Mad Max movies outside of Fury Road.
Really?
Dude, watch Road Warrior.
I have the Blu-ray. Yeah, Derek gave me the Blu-ray of Road Warrior, and I haven't, I didn't watch it. Yeah,
I dare say the first one is my favorite.
Yeah, that's funny. I've heard a lot of people say
it's so uniquely like an indie Australian movie. Yeah, it's so DIY, right? It has that look that's so different.
I think Road Warrior like defined the 80s for a lot of people.
Sure,
it's a very polished movie.
Yeah,
honestly, you watch Road Warrior, you watch Fury Road, you pretty much got the whole Mad Max experience, and then you could watch Mad Max and Thunderdome to get like, you know, the bonus.
You know, it's funny. Stuff. Yeah, I never hear anyone say that one is their favorite, the Thunderdome. Yeah. And then I brought this up in front of my family, and my mom and dad were like, "Oh my god, did you watch the Thunderdome one?" I was like, "What? No." "Oh my gosh, that one was the best. Tina Turner." And it was like, "Where did this come from?"
Thunderdome like reminds me of Hook, cuz like the first 20 minutes is like it's really cool, and then it turns into like kid shit. Yeah. So you like similar like with Renata Jenna, you might like it. Like, just because it's, like, kind of 80s hokiness.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Maybe in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean, are you ready to talk about PAX or what? Come on.
I mean, you know the second this podcast ends, I have to go back to work, and you don't give a fuck about me.
Well, I wanted...
Didn't have to.
God, it's tense over here.
Yeah, it just got awkward.
I mean, I
picked a bad day to come on the podcast.
I didn't know he had more.
If you're just waiting to talk about PAX, we could cover it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't let us hold you
I
up.
I wanted to say something about it right at the beginning, and Sean was like, "No, don't. I like being with you guys." And he kept saying it.
All right. Talk about PAX. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. I was seriously, I forgot I had a new morpher next to me, and I hadn't brought it out the whole show, and I was just about to, but you know what?
Hey,
Sean is my friend, and I do respect him.
I would support you bringing it out before we get into the PAX.
You know what?
Discussion.
That'll be the treat. That'll be the treat at the end. But Sean will still have to stay, so it doesn't matter when I do it. Okay. Guys, we're going to be at PAX East. The week after next, we're going to be at PAX East. I want to say, hey, Kevin is on the board tonight. Thank you, Kevin, for running the board tonight. Can you show yourself, or is that going to... No.
Yeah.
Hey, there he is.
Handsome. Mm.
Okay. Kevin, if you could show the first thing we have. It's... we are going to be there March 28th through the 31st. There's our booth number, 22017. I think we're generally in the same spot we usually are. And then Saturday, March 30th, we have a panel, Mega 64, Stolen Virtual Dance Legal Advice Panel on March 30th, 8 p.m. in the Albatross Theater.
Is that a Fortnite reference?
It was. When we were asked to name the panel, it was when all of that stuff went down with like Carlton and all that.
Yeah, Carlton was suing Riot Games.
Yeah.
And he lost, right?
I think he dropped the lawsuit.
He did.
I think they threw it out because they couldn't do it for
can't
like
pin it down.
Yeah, for a dance routine, they couldn't. Yeah, you can't.
I was right. He didn't even originate the Carlton.
Well, let's save
it's the
advice.
Neil Diamond impression.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
right. Let's save the advice for the panel in the Albatross Theater.
Anyway, we're going to show we got some stuff from the vault, you know, you're going to be seeing. There'll be some surprises around the corner. So, as always, our panels are a ton of fun. I think you should go. Maybe I'm biased, but check out our panel Saturday night of PAX East. And the booth will be there the whole weekend. What are we going to have at the booth? Well, here's a little snapshot for you. We're going to have all the general stuff that you come to expect. We've got a couple leftovers from Black Friday that'll be there, like that sweatshirt, whatever. This is just a few things. We're going to have most of the stuff you would expect us to have. We will have some of the vinyl record there if you never got one of those. Pretty much all the stuff you expect, plus some surprises we've dug out. You can come pick up at our booth, and we'll have it there all weekend. This convention is actually the last convention you'll be able to get. There's a couple exclusive items that you can only get this weekend, and this is really the last time we're going to have them, is the Pink Con exclusive shirt that our friend Mariel did. She was on the show last week, of course, and the Con exclusive Sean plush. This is kind of the last con that we're going to have those. So if you never got them, this is a good chance to get them. So we're going to have those there. We'll show a few items that are going to debut at PAX East. The first one we have actually shown before. We did a little pre-order for those who aren't attending, but it is the Rider sweatshirt and the Voltage scarf. That's a big debut we have for PAX East, and those will be in person at our booth. So you can get both of those. Both of those go so well together. But again, that's another item Mariel did. Great job on those. And they'll be at our booth the whole weekend. And for everybody at home who ordered those, we'll obviously, after PAX is when we'll start shipping those. Once we get like all our stuff back from the con is when you'll get yours. Anyway, the next item is a brand new one. Actually, Sean was responsible for bringing us this design. You want to say anything about it?
Yeah, sure. I had this idea for fucking ever, And I talked to several artists, and they're like, I don't know what this is. I don't know. And I talked to Andrew Douglas, who said, yeah, I could definitely do this. Nice. No problem. In fact, I would love to do this. So I've never done this before. I drew a shitty sketch of what I wanted and said, I want this, but way better looking. Could you do that for me? And he said, yes. And so this shirt is the Could Be Real shirt.
Sean has wanted a shirt like this for so long. I don't know where it came from, but you kept saying like
I wanted an alien with
alien surfing?
An alien with a surfboard and a Walkman. It makes 64, Sean. I wanted it so bad for the longest time. And then he did a nice thing on the front chest. It says, you know, a little UFO. It says believe. Fucking love it. So the Could Be Real shirt. That's Andrew nice. Douglas, thank you so much. He knocked it out of the park.
With a front and back design. I like front when we do the design. Front and back design.
Yeah, very that was Andrew's suggestion. And I went with it. I liked it.
So that will be at the booth. The next design actually is one of Derek's. Will also be at the booth as well. Do you want to say something about it?
Yeah. I actually drew this one myself. No artist involved. And this, it channels my feeling that Mega 64 is dead. And you can mark this shirt as the heralding of my departure from this group. After this shirt is purchased, I will no longer be appearing on Mega 64.
Oh, this is what I knew it.
You can show it now. This is the Mega Reaper shirt.
I knew it.
That is the Grim Reaper coming to take me away from Mega 64.
I knew it.
So
I knew it.
There you go.
So get him while he's here.
That was what was lurking under the mask that he wore every week that he spoke to me, and he showed the.
That shirt is perfect. Show it again, actually, if you can.
Perfect.
Perfect situations. Wear that shirt to a funeral to commemorate the dead. Just let them know that Mega 64 is with. Wear it to a wedding, to a baby shower, any family event, good or bad. This shirt will just, it's the appropriate aesthetic, you know. It really just is a shirt for grieving and mourning or celebration.
Yeah, it makes you want to live life to the fullest.
You know, death isn't the end. It's only a new beginning.
Carpe diem. Yeah.
So remember that.
The next item, this one's for me. There's a new long sleeve. And we had, I know the artist's real name. I think they go by Tofu Boy. I hope that's the correct thing they want to go by, because otherwise I just insulted them very bad. But they nailed it. I wanted something kind of in the Y2K aesthetic for a long sleeve. And we were given this wonderful piece. This is the Cyber 64 long sleeve.
Whoa.
That's going to be available for the first time at PAX East 2019. It's all cybernetic, and you got all kinds of technology at the ready. So that's going to be there. That's going to be there for the first time. And we have all those will be at our booth for the first time. And then if there's some left after the show, we'll put them online. But this next item is exclusive. Only get it at our booth. We have a con exclusive poster done by Kevin H., who sent us some great stuff before.
He's
in the chat room. Check it out. The con exclusive Bryce the Nobody shirt, or sorry, poster. That's going to be at our booth at PAX East. Be sure to pick one of those up. That's exclusive to...
Kevin, you nailed it.
That's exclusive to the booth. So Bryce the Nobody, famous YouTuber, you're going to want that poster. But anyway... all that stuff will be at our booth, so be sure to check that stuff out if you're in Boston. If you're not in Boston, again, fly to Boston. Should we do like, you know, we have our panel Saturday night, and then we're going to be at the booth all day. Should we do some kind of meetup or something if people can't go to PAX, or do you think like we're not going to be able to do that? I don't know what our...
Follow our Twitter, and we'll let you know we decide. I don't know.
Yeah, because I always...
around that Boston would area?
I don't know, because I feel like...
Legal seafood.
I feel like that area is not like dinner. People are probably not hanging out there if they're not at PAX.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe there wouldn't be a great advantage to
meet
that.
Up at Harvard.
We'll go to Harvard, dude. We'll be like,
we go here now.
I invented Facebook. Yeah.
Take everybody to Bodega Shoes.
Yeah, let's do that. Sean loves that store.
I'm not going to that.
Sean will jump in a fucking fountain again.
Yeah, Sean will take some Alpha Brain, and he'll be fun to hang out with.
Yeah, take some CBD. Now you'll like the
take
the
everybody
shoe store
to the police department and say, "Are you talking to me?"
Well, thank you for watching this podcast, Gene. Thank you for joining us once again. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Garrett, for giving up his seat on the couch.
Sure.
I really appreciate it. It's nice. It's cozy. Sean smells good.
Thank you.
Fact: Sean smells good.
I knew it.
I'm in a band called Q-Bomb. We're playing a show. We're LA based, so sorry if anybody that's not in LA. But we have a show on the 29th. At a place called Area 51.
Should check live it stream it.
Wow.
We actually do. We live stream our on Instagram.
Oh,
we stream our
there
shows.
You go.
There you go.
It's 2019, guys.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Check us out. We just got an online store. Shop.mega64. check it out. No, it's not. I don't remember the URL. We do have an online store. Buy a shirt. And that's not why I came on here, but I just love these guys.
Dude, thank you.
And I'm happy to be on here.
You're always welcome.
Yeah. All right.
Well, is there anything else you guys want to say?
No, I've been trying to wrap it up. Jesus.
He's once
Sean.
To be a good,
what
he
else
wants
about?
To be a good
yeah,
you
want to talk about your kids and the leprechaun or whatever? What? Oh yeah. Shit! I didn't do anything with that. Here, I'm going to end on a cool.
Please.
Oh, I found something cool out about this. Okay.
Good night.